23 minutes away from 7. The Greens appear to be the ones who don't want this $3,000 fee for the returning Kiwis. I don't know where New Zealand first sit. Winston Peters is off to TY today. Of course, he's with us after 7 o'clock. We'll get the update on that, and among other matters. Meantime, might have some hope around the borders with some suggestions from the New Zealand Initiative. They want, like many of us do, of course, international travel with countries with similar positions to ours. The author, Eric Crampton's with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
So this is about returning Kiwis or anyone from safe countries.
It's about getting safe border procedures more generally. So if we start from a principle that safe entry should be allowed, it starts being a little bit weird that we're not allowing travel to and from the Cook Islands or other islands in New Zealand's realm. So we close the borders to them to help protect them against getting COVID from us. Now that we've got that finished, the humanitarian burden that's being imposed on the islands by not reopening is getting bigger. Similarly, Taiwan has control systems that are at least as good as ours. Their COVID case rates are lower than ours, and we've not reopened travel to there. Like, sure, you'd want to make sure that somebody isn't transiting via crazy places on the way here, but there's no reason we couldn't allow direct flights from Taipei to New Zealand and treat them the same way as we did before COVID.
Is it worth it? Because we were talking, Greg Foran earlier on from Air New Zealand this week said, yes, you know, wouldn't it be great to get the borders open, but logistically it's a nightmare.
Well, that would be then for the airlines to decide, right? So right now, the government has banned it. So we can't really make any progress. If the government allowed it and it weren't commercially viable, well, then it's not commercially viable. Nobody would be forcing the airlines to run those routes. Mm. But if Air New Zealand or anyone else wanted to take a punt on that route and was just running that directly without crew coming in from other international places, there's no reason that we should forbid it. But we also have to scale up for safe entry from riskier places for the million Kiwis that potentially could want to come back at some point.
When you talk about clear proof of a confirmed booking, that's fine. But what if you're at a strange port that doesn't ask and there isn't a connection between us and New Zealand? You know what I'm saying? Suddenly you've got people turning up saying, well, I had a clear booking or I think I had it. Yeah, it's fraught, isn't it?
Well, right now we've got procedures requiring that people demonstrate they have a visa, for example, when they show up at the border. You'd also want to have the government, though, maintaining a bit of a reserve capacity of their own of a very basic sort of nature. So before, the government had been talking about keeping camper vans at airports, for example, as a bit of backstop capability. If somebody did manage to get through who either had messed up their booking or had faked a booking. So if they printed it out and photoshopped it to make it look like they had a booking and the systems weren't quite up for it yet, you'd have to have a place to put them or stick them on the next flight back home, or a place to keep them while you're waiting to stick them on the next flight back home. And that kind of backstop capacity could be provided pretty easily through those kinds of camper vans at the airport.
See, what I like about your idea in general is I get the sense this government doesn't really want to. I mean, how much of this is just about attitude? In other words, if you want to do this, it can be done.
I think it can be done. I think that the government has been rightly nervous about some of its own capabilities. There were a lot of problems in May and June when the Ministry of Health was overseeing things. The shift to military oversight has seemed to have solved a lot of that, though. But we need to find ways of scaling that up because we need a lot more capacity than they've been able to deliver. I agree that there's been a strong reluctance to reopen, and that's the best exemplified in the non-reopening back to the Pacific Islands. Yeah. Those places are COVID-free, and it's remarkable that we haven't allowed travel to and from those places yet. But we shouldn't blame the government too much for not having all of these procedures in place yet for returns from riskier places, because those places are risky. We want to make sure that we get that right, and we have to get it right in a way that's safe and scales both for returning New Zealanders and to start letting some of the business travel that's happened previously start coming back. There's a lot of potential with New Zealand's COVID-free status to sort of change how we've had tourism. So before, we had lots and lots of people who'd come in for 2 or 3 week stays that do the tiki tour of the country and go home. That's never going to happen under 2 week managed isolation, and it shouldn't. But there's a lot of opportunity for longer term visitors. There are half of the American workforce is working remotely in May. If only a tiny fraction of them would want to bring their jobs here and work remotely from here, if they could be brought in safely, they'd be getting paid by their American employers. They'd be working and living here and spending their money in the local communities here, taking the place of a lot of these sort of short-term cyclical visitors and potentially building some deeper connections with New Zealand's tech community. It'd be a really good move.
Indeed, Eric. Appreciate your time as always. Eric Crampton out of the New Zealand Initiative. See, it can be done if we want to. 18 minutes away from 7. Because boy, did the tourism.